53rd podcast, isn't it? It is our 53rd because we had 49.1 and 49.2.
But we had number 50 at the Film and Sound Archives.
Which is a great success.
We think a good night.
Except hardly anyone came.
There were enough people there. There were lots of people there.
There was. All our friends.
I still go.
Every single one of them.
None of my friends.
No, not that many.
Do you have any friends?
I do actually have friends.
We just never get to meet them.
Oh, they all got married and had children.
And they don't like the Phoenix.
They don't like the Phoenix, no, because it's full of smoke.
Yeah.
And smelly people.
Anyway, we have some very special guests in the... Yeah, that's true. That's the Phoenix.
Yeah.
We have some very special guests here, a band called Plug.
Yay.
And they are George Barden.
Hey.
Shell Whitfield.
Hey.
And Leon Twaddy.
Hey.
And we were making a bit of a joke about you being one of Canberra's few all-girl bands.
How do you feel about being an all-girl band?
Take any infamy we can get.
And how did you come to be in a girl band, Leon?
It wasn't easy.
The audition was a killer.
Are we talking casting here?
I don't know.
But you are a very handsome young man, Leon, right? So. In fact, when you met you in the Phoenix the other night, and the two girls who were with me over there, they were like, ooh, who's he talking to?
Well, it's too late to tell me that now, isn't it?
You probably could have mentioned it on the night and helped them out.
Well, one of them's here now.
Oh.
Not me. No. Not in this room. Hiding in another room. Shy.
This interview took a sudden turn for rather personal.
You like that. And George, are you the songwriter in this
book? Yeah, I am.
Yeah. I think they're fabulous songs.
Oh, thanks.
What sort of influences do you think you have?
What sort of influences?
Yeah, songwriting ones.
Can anyone answer that question very well?
No one ever does whenever we ask them.
It's like a really stupid question.
But it is. It's kind of interesting.
I think it's because you try and write differently to people that you hear, so that you're original. So you don't want to be influenced by anyone?
Okay, but what's actually in the CD collection?
I think it's because people talk about
lots of playlists. Lots of, like, 60s and 70s stuff.
Okay, 60s and 70s covers a lot of ground. Are we talking the Fakies or the progressive rockers? Or...
The Beatles and right. Janis Joplin.
Yeah.
And,
I can hear the Janis thing, yeah.
Yeah. Bob Dylan.
Okay.
Any country?
Well, I grew up listening to lots of country music because my parents were into it.
Like did you grow up Cash. In Canberra?
No, in Goulburn.
Goulburn.
Okay,
yeah.
So
that
would explain
the sentence. Yeah. Goulburn for the international audience is about an hour's drive north of Canberra, isn't it?
Yeah.
And is home to New South Wales' maximum security prison.
Yeah.
And
a
giant sheep.
And a lighthouse. Well, don't forget they're also planning to build a nuclear reactor there, so that would be good too.
Oh, the water would be good there, wouldn't it? Too. It's also around low on water.
Yeah, drought stricken.
I don't know why you haven't started drinking your own water.
It's funny because whenever you see the rainfall maps when it's pouring with rain in Canberra, you can see that there's Goulburn with no rainfall whatsoever.
It bypasses.
So did the rain leave Goulburn when you left? Was that what happened? Or have you been gone a little longer?
I've been gone for about 7 or 8 years.
So that's about when the rain stopped.
That's about the last time Lake George was full as well.
Yeah. Mm. So you're to blame.
I guess so.
You should write a song about that.
Yep. It's in the works.
I think we should hear a song
rather
than trying to describe or talk about the music. Let's just listen to it.
Yep.
What? Oh, I forgot to write down what all the songs were.
What song would you like?
Do you remember the first song you did?
Sure do. It was Little Bird.
Yeah, Little Bird.
Good work.
Little Bird. Let's go.
could arrive, but I've got nowhere to go when I'm dry. I was in shame. There's so much ground to cover, looking for my place. Just a little bird in the air. I lost my nerve, though I may have been a coward since my birth. I think I left it with the orchestra rehearsed. I still wanna walk the earth, but I'm afraid that I might get what I deserve.
Now, Leon was quite unforthcoming when I attempted to lead him before. How did the band get together?
Okay.
It's a fucking cool story, actually.
George and I met at uni at the School of Music, and then we both dropped out of uni at the same time.
I was studying piano, and she was studying violin.
And then and viola. Yeah.
How great does it sound to say these two girls are classically trained since ages 5 and 6? Right up when they dropped out when they hit the tertiary level and started a rock band. Fantastic.
Yeah.
Yeah. We decided that School Music wasn't for us. So we dropped out.
How far along were you at that point?
I was 2 years, you were three?
I did 2 years in the music degree and then transferred to a different degree.
Okay.
And then we were writing, like, we were just doing a lot of jamming together. And then I moved to Newcastle for a year. So I've actually done 3 years of uni.
That's very important to Michelle.
It is. I've done 3 years. And then I came back to Canberra and we...
tried to find a drummer.
Tried to find a drummer. Went through numerous amounts of drummers.
I was going to say, how do you find a drummer? Do you put an ad in BMA?
No, we actually put ads up in, like, Impact, when it was Impact.
Yeah.
And just around the place.
That's, like, Impact Records.
Yeah, Impact Records. And then around Civic, we put up ads looking for a drummer. And Leon answered, and he thought George was a guy. And,
What? Well, you know, because I tell the story badly.
Yeah. Well, I haven't had as much practice as you.
That was from reading a poster that it was George.
I was going to say, you know, when I see the name George, I'm sorry. I've been gender biased for my life. I do tend to associate the name George with men, and I'm sorry about that.
Yeah. They had some previous drummers that were amusing.
Yeah, we did.
But we don't remember want to, like, make fun of people.
No. Just that there's, like, one guy who played metal.
Yeah, we killed a few.
Yeah. And anyway, we found Leon a week before Unearthed.
Just a little bird.
We found Leon about a week before Triple J Unearthed and decided, hey, it'd be really good to enter.
Yep.
So we had a week rehearsal and then...
Sons of bitches. 300 bands they listed. 300 freaking bands.
Yeah.
It's one for every, many people. 100,000 people.
100,000.
And so... Oh, 1,000, whatever. We didn't make it.
You didn't even make the 300 list.
Nope.
No.
And you did so much preparation.
Yeah, a whole week.
Yeah.
Band's history was aimed at that one moment.
Yeah.
Well, you can now, Unearth has changed now, you can do it, it's online.
Yeah.
And only bands with record companies stacking the voting for them have a hope of actually getting anywhere. Yeah.
Well, hey.
Triple J.
That's how all music is when it's commercialised anyway.
Really?
But who needs Unearthed when you've got Insatiable Banality? Yes,
no, you can just come on.
Yeah, there you go.
What angst do you have with Triple J?
I think they've sold out with Unearthed, getting rid of the Unearthed thing they had. And what John Boy's saying about how the system they've implemented instead is
biased. Yeah.
Sounds like they're trying to start their own...
MySpace.
Yes, they're in MySpace domain.
Everyone wants to start their own MySpace.
They've got the right.
My MySpace.
They've got the right intentions. It's just the wrong way of doing it.
It's certainly not. I mean, the Unearthed process was to go to a town and say, "This is Geelong. This is the bands in Geelong. Play some of those bands. Say this town is the winner of the competition." By spotlighting particular regional areas at a time, that was actually bringing something new to national attention. And I just don't see their current system doing that. It's going to make Triple J sound good and again, nationalise all of their music, which has always been my objection to Triple J, is that it...
You think it should be city-based?
I think it should be city-based, just like it all
like
other
radio. Like it went into Sydney, and it was like Sydney bands, and did a great thing for Sydney music.
Yeah, but as it is, they say this is local music, when they really mean this is Australia-wide music, which is not the same thing at all. And it also kills off the independent culture across Australia by turning into one giant conglomerate.
Canberra has its little show. There's a guy who does a
Canberra. Actually, there's a couple of shows come out of Canberra and Triple J. But it has no Canberra identity as such.
Yeah. We should work on it.
Oh, good luck.
Anyway,
it's not a song. Change
the topic. You recently went and recorded some songs in Infidel Studios.
Yep.
That's an infamous studio.
That's in Queanbeyan, isn't it?
Tell us about that experience.
I really like the idea that bands go to exotic locations to record.
So we went
to Morocco.
How far off the main street
It's great, remind me of home. I really like it.
Oh, like,
did anybody measure?
No.
Couple of Ks.
Not far.
Okay, but it's not like right on there. You can't.
It's next to a motorcycle shop.
Not really, no. Really.
And they've put a lot of work into that studio, haven't they?
Yeah.
It's all
pretty
fucking
great.
It has lounges.
Like, I nothing to say. I reckon those guys are awesome.
Yeah. Had a great time there.
Worked with a fellow called Stuart,
who's Duncan.
Got experience with doing classical stuff, and he was brilliant to work with because he ended up getting into the music and then kind of enjoying his side of the creative process.
And, yeah, right.
Yeah.
It was great.
And you spent 2 days there?
Yep. Mm-hmm.
Yep.
Can I ask how much 2 days costs in Edinburgh?
It was $5.50 a day.
$5.50 a day, yeah.
10 hour day.
Which, for a dedicated facility, yeah, they're going to make some money as well,
aren't
they?
Yeah. So, yeah, definitely.
And you recorded it on tape?
Yeah, on analogue.
Yeah. What?
That was Leon's idea.
What are you laughing at?
Oh, it's beautiful.
Yeah, we paid extra to do that too.
I know.
I'm only getting them printed on vinyl. No, they're too cool. Cassettes.
No, why don't you go for one of those Thomas Edison reel phones? They had really good sound quality.
There's that you're missing there.
That's right. And there's no scratch.
And I miss that.
Well, a lot of people do, and some people even put it onto their digital recordings, the old LPs.
Yeah. Well, I've heard from a lot of people that the analog recording is really quite beautiful, so I thought, yeah, hell yeah, I was pretty damn excited about it all.
And on your listening back, could you appreciate the difference, do you think?
Well, no, because I don't have anything to compare it to,
so. Yeah.
But man,
taking a step into the blue on that one.
If no, not at all, because if we're paying poo loads of money to get experts, then I expect to trust their opinion, otherwise it's a bit stupid. Mm-hmm. So if the expert says, yeah man, this shit's beautiful, I'm like, well, do it up!
And is it going to sound good on MP3, is the real question.
Only good on MP3.
I've got a sort of a relationship with an engineer, and what happens to me is in the studio, it sounds shit hot, yeah. Burn it under a CD, take it home. It sounds like a dog, you know? Anyway, I can't work out why or how, except there are some...
He's got really good speakers in his studio.
Yeah.
That's part of it, and the acoustic properties of that room as compared to another room that you're listening in.
That and the fact that you just be so focused when you're in the studio. You really listen. You know how you get your favourite song in the world and you show it to your friend who's never heard it, and for the first time you see it from their perspective, and they're just like... You dag, this is crap. And you see the song differently. If you're at a studio all day, so focused on your music, you'd hear every brilliant moment. But if you came home, threw on a stereo, you'd be hearing it fresh. You'd be hearing all the flaws.
Have you got to listen to the recording at home yet?
Not yet.
Where the hell is it?
It's still at Infidel.
Can we get a copy?
Yes. I had to go away for a week.
Maybe we can save this for...
I've been wondering later. About that.
No, it's just sort of thinking about if you could have a fight.
Sure, we're good at those.
That's not too hard.
Let's play a song that we recorded here earlier. Called,
that we'll get a copy of.
No, certainly, yeah, I'll look
for it. We can have something for tea tomorrow.
That's what okay.
So this one's called Wake Up. Here we go.
You gotta wake up. You have to wake up. This can't be the way you've been living your days. You gotta wake up. You have to wake up. I know it's not as fun as it seems. A little bit lost. A little bit lazy, a little bit lame, a little bit hazy, a little bit alone, a little bit undone, maybe. I'm sorry, I've swallowed your lampshade. You got a lot of pretty lights. Oh,
gotta be bold. You gotta be brave. You gotta be brave. You gotta be breathing. You gotta be in control.
So that was Wake Up with the extra special clapping in there. But,
Once again, the Insatiable Banalities team
came through with the clap.
Came through. We now hire ourselves out as professional clappers.
I'm very excited about this new musical career I've got opening up in front of me.
It was, we're pretty damn excited as well. That's our second time of audience participation.
Yeah.
Last time we played at that horrible little bar, the Phoenix. So it was,
I love the Phoenix. Don't get me wrong with that. Just
he
like
loves the Phoenix.
Phoenix.
Just all his friends hate it.
They're all the damn time. They know I love it. Yeah. But as just started clapping and got up the guts to go, could one of you people join in? If you motherfuckers want to clap? And all of a sudden they're all clapping and it was great.
See, they're very helpful. We have to ask.
Yeah.
They'll do their best to help you out now. We've got a list of banalities, and we'll try and get to some of them. But one of them that wasn't here happened in Canberra 2 weeks ago, where an unfortunate man was stabbed to death by his girlfriend.
He said his throat was slit.
His throat was cut, as I believe. Yeah, that was in the paper. There were an awful lot of wounds, apparently.
It's hard to kill someone, you know. It's not that easy. In the movies, it's just like jab and they fall down dead.
Yeah,
you always hear about people being shot in the head, and it's like, yeah, and they died 2 days later. What? Shit.
Well, in that case, it's, you know, they can keep the heart beating and the lungs going in the hospital, but the lights just aren't on. But this guy was dead when they got to him. What had happened was his girlfriend, who he had a very turbulent relationship with, and Ainslie Village is a hostel for people who've got some troubles in their lives anyway, turned up wanting affection, and he'd said, sure, come on in. Early in the morning, she'd woken him up saying, demanding sex, and he'd told her to go away.
How is that bit known?
Yeah, I was just thinking that.
That bit's...
Is this from Reuters again?
No, this is from Canberra Times. The neighbours heard the argument.
Yeah, right. Thin walls at Ainslie Village.
Yeah.
Oh no, they're at it again.
So
quick, write it down.
Apparently she'd demanded sex, he'd said no, she'd got angry, he'd got brutal and started like banging her head against walls and things, and then she'd taken a knife and killed him.
Self-defense.
I don't know, first of all, have we ever had a crazy person turn up on the doorstep wanting love? Like,
not
surely...
not really.
Yes,
not
I
personally.
Had love, but
I had
not...
a cat one time.
Yeah. No, actually, I've had a few people fall in love with me who I would describe as a bit nuts.
Yeah.
More the point, have you ever been the nuts person on the
board? I think I'm the I think I am the nuts person.
So you've been the nuts person.
Yeah. I'm the one who stabs people when they won't sleep with me.
That
don't turn me down, I'm carrying a blade. Okay, you good.
Can we take that out?
People first, I love you.
Yes, that was Shell Whitfield with that confession.
Thanks.
So watch out, boys. Out there.
Shut up now and never talk again.
Well, it's funny, the story resonated for me because a few years ago I did have this girl turn up on my doorstep all wild and crazy eyed and she was sort of an ex and in a very complicated relationship, and she said, can I come in? I said, yeah, okay. She said, can I sleep in? I'm like, no, you can sleep in the spare bed. And about half an hour later I just couldn't get to sleep, and I said, woke her up and said, I'm driving you home, because I was just scared that in the night she was going to grab one of my kitchen knives and rip my heart out.
No lock on the bedroom door.
Well, no lock on the bedroom door. No, it wasn't a well-equipped share house. So when I read the story, for me, there was certainly a great deal of...
We were thanking your lucky stars.
Yeah. I mean, it's just, I don't think she probably would have.
I never woke up with a crazy person on my doorstep, but I did wake up and a crazy person had left a door on my doorstep. I thought it was crazy. Sorry, that's just the only tangent I can think of. Just like share house living and crazy people.
They left a door on your doorstep.
Yeah, I lived with a guy who thought he was Keith Moon. It was great.
Is that connected to the door? Is there a Keith
Moon? Oh, yeah. I wasn't invited to a party, so I was like really cut, so I can't send Keith Moon in my place. It was kind of vindictive action to the poor party. And obviously he wasn't there for love. This is really not related to the story at all. But I woke up the next morning feeling kind of smug. But kind of over feeling that vengeful, and I woke up and found a door. Oh, shit. What have you done? Keith? So even though I wasn't on the best of terms, I still rang up and was like, hey, man, you missing a door? I think I might have it.
Sort of reminds me of Godfather. The horse's head is dead.
You're right.
But without all the blood and gore.
Clearly it wasn't my door or my doorstep, it was someone else's. It's occurred to me why so nonplussed you were.
The night I moved into a share house, I found broken glass in the bed that I'd just moved into that place. And I was like, wow, what the fuck's going on? Turned out some guy had like accidentally smashed my frame prints that I was going to hang on the wall and tried to do the right thing by leaving them on the bed, but I'd stumble home at 4 in the morning and, holy shit, what's all this broken glass in the bed of this new house?
They're trying to kill me!
Yeah.
I've got some great share house stories.
Oh, okay.
Some really
good
ones.
Can you give us one?
Oh, definitely. I used to live just around the corner here, actually.
Yeah, in Sunny
Dirt Street.
Yeah.
And we're actually the first house.
Mm-hmm.
And we woke up one night to a guy standing... like, I don't know if you know the house or not, but the window, the bedrooms are at the front of the house, and the window, like, it's right across from Glee Park.
Mm-hmm.
And we all woke up to this guy standing outside our house trying to get in. And he actually got in, and we locked ourselves in the lounge room, and he was like, had a knife and stuff. It was fun.
Hilarious.
Yeah, we called the police.
Did they come?
Yeah, they arrived, but he was gone by the time they arrived.
So he just stumbled around in all the other rooms of the house.
Well, yeah, like a week before the first recording we did, and Leon had to stay at your house, and he had to have a knife on the floor.
Oh yeah, I slept with a knife.
Yeah, we all slept with like baseball bats in our rooms and knives under our pillows, and we were so scared.
Did you ever cut your fingers that way?
No.
There's a bit of a knife theme running through my whole fortnight here. I don't know. I was at Cube the night that guy got stabbed and
that's crazy.
Cut throats in Nazi Village and Jesus.
And then you're in a room with a girl who might cut your throat.
I knew they were going to let that down.
Next song.
Yeah, let's play some. I need a beer. This song is called Speak.
Don't believe me when I speak. I only do it so the floorboards don't creak. I hate that ticking clock in my ear. Don't believe me when I stay. Parts of me wish I'd go away, but all of you people are here. Believe me, I know. Believe me, I know. Everything must go. Nothing escapes extinction. Ticking clock in my ear. Don't believe me when I pray. I my Superman away, and all of you people are here. Believe me, I know. Believe me, I know. You knew me well. I said it gently, but I meant something else. I don't wanna say it better. I don't wanna say it well. Don't believe I ever knew what the hell I wanted to say.
A different name, different lighter, give me everything you got.
Mm. There we go.
Thanks, Squire.
Cigarette, yeah.
That's good airtime. Here is a banality. Woman comes home to find house cleaned. Big headlines. Lady by the name of Debbie Phillips tried to report a crime, finding the police just snickered. I told them someone came into my house and cleaned, the president of the Putnam County School Board said. And he just laughed. The problem wasn't that her home smelled a little fresher or looked a little tidier. The problem was that Phillips had no idea who the mystery cleaner was. That's pretty fucked. Her husband denied cleaning up the joint. So did her next door neighbor. Everyone, she asked, denied responsibility. All she knew was the rugs weren't where she left them that morning in June. Trinkets had been arranged, and in the master bedroom, the bed was made differently. It didn't look like anything had been stolen, but she couldn't be sure. Nearly a month passed before the mystery had been solved. Her son called her at work recently, after a cleaning lady arrived at the front door. As it turns out, her neighbour across the street with a similar house number, the same number of rooms to be cleaned, and a house key hidden in a similar spot outside, had hired a cleaning service. Yeah. I just came to the wrong door, Phillip said.
There's two funny things.
I thought it was going to be a mystery. Yeah.
One is that you really hope the thieves don't know the same location that everyone's using to hide
their keys.
The other one is, I actually, in a really, really grotty share house in Downer, had a situation where we got burgled, and the only reason we noticed was because all the junk had been moved off the surfaces, like tables, onto the floor, which had so much other junk that we didn't notice the extra junk on the floor. And we looked around and we looked at each other and scratched our heads, the three of us, and said, have you been cleaned up? No. I think someone's burgled us.
Do you reckon they're still here? Fuck, I wouldn't know.
It's actually, it is becoming an art form. I saw one on the internet where someone had got into someone's dorm room or something like that, and they had nailed everything to the ceiling, so the whole room was upside down.
Yeah.
That would really shit you, though, wouldn't it? I mean, steal my bloody DVD player, but wreck everything in the ceiling is, that's a lot nastier.
It's dedication.
Yeah.
I had someone break into my car. Well, actually, they broke into our house, loaded up my car.
Did they try to kill me with a knife?
No, not with a knife. I was on holidays at the time and my car was out the front of our house. The same house, actually. And I'd taken the battery out of my car so that my car would not be stolen. And they loaded everything from our house into my car, then found out that my car wouldn't work. So they must have had their own car, so they loaded up everything from my car into their car. And then they stole all my fuses out of my car.
Just
for a bit of payback for not.
Oh, so I was really hoping they'd put a new battery in your car and just like, fuck, better get out of here.
Or maybe they did it so that you, when you came running out to like chase them, you'd get in the car and you wouldn't get started. Right?
Well,
I don't know. They knew no one was home.
Yeah. I like the idea of revenge. Say, how dare you not have the battery?
Well, once,
we're gonna take your fuses.
I had a bike. It was only a cheap bike, and I left it locked up under the art school sort of wing, and come down at the end of the day. And it's gone, and I had like these really nice plastic tassels that you put in the end of your hand.
So you had a girl's bike?
No, it was a boy's bike.
You had a pretty basket.
Had this.
Do they also?
Basket?
Yeah, pretty basket.
I didn't have the basket.
Did you have the spokey dokies?
Just the tassels. That was the only one. I had a milk crate on the back. It was practical. But the bike's gone. And the tassels have been thrown. Reminded me. I think we should play another song.
Yeah.
Sarah said
these are the things that make her complete. And Sarah said she can't take anything if she's you. Thank you.
That was Sarah said, could you just reprise what you said before? Because I missed it.
We were mentioning that there was a CD launch coming up. Now, when is the CD launch?
The CD launch is on the 4th of November.
4th of November?
Yeah, at the ANU Bar.
At the ANU Bar?
Yeah, and we're being supported by Left to Centre, who are a Newcastle hip-hop band.
Wow.
Yeah, with fantastic. They also have a violin. Yeah. They rock. I saw them on the weekend.
That's mind-blowing. I love it.
And they're supporting you.
Yes.
How did you arrange that?
Well, my cousin plays the violin in the band.
Okay. So the knife didn't get involved.
No, there was no knife involved. Damn it, I didn't get laid either.
We then went on to say that you still have to actually get the CD back from Infidel.
We do need to get the CD. Which is
our fault, not theirs.
Yes. Yeah.
We got some mixing to do.
Yeah, we have to mix it first. Yeah.
And artwork and
all that stuff.
What sort of packaging do you think you're going to do?
I don't think it's been discussed yet.
My little buddy from Melbourne was telling me you can pay $300 and get 300 copies made up with little inserts and all that jazz.
Oh, nice.
Which I think sounds like a great idea.
Would you go for jewel passes?
We've talked about more about our business here than we have the rest of the year.
Maybe we should.
Yeah.
We're trying to help. We're just trying to share the process with the audience. Now, jewel cases or cardboard sleeves? What's your feelings on those sorts of things?
I'd rather
jewel
cases.
Fucking huge.
Yeah.
So you're in the middle.
Leon wants vinyl.
It's going to be unique.
But it would be a bugger for your merch, bitch, wouldn't it? So.
Yeah. Fuck it, every CD will be a poster. It'd be great.
You know what? You'd sell a few that way.
They're not going to fit in the CD player. Sorry, that was my attempt to be dumbly.
I think the level of dumbness has been set with the previous comment. You were following really well.
Everything's appropriate. Do we have a final banality, Tomboy?
Oh, look.
Do we want to do the French politician in bikini?
Well, we could, but I've thought about it, and while amusing it is that a 53-year-old French socialist has been snapped in her bikini, and actually looks quite good for a 53-year-old.
What do you find amusing? The fact that it was happening, or that someone took a photo of it, and it's news, and we're now talking about it.
It's caused a worldwide stir, and I've, you know, did some research and actually got the photos, which is wonderful to the audience. I hope you enjoyed this. Photographs of the 50-year-old.
Was that just like incidental? Like your normal Google search for 50-year-old in bikini? Just
the story's been all through the world media these photos have been taken. The big thing in France is that under French law she could sue the asses off the magazines that published it.
That's right. And invading the privacy. That's right. We should have laws like that.
And
then I'd be in trouble.
Exactly. So no. But the fact that she hasn't suggested a bit of publicity stunt. She is a very glamorous woman in French politics and is up with a fair chance of running for president when Chirac finally goes. But
that'd be amusing.
Yes. Anyway, not that good for the audio format of podcast, so I thought we'd skip that, huh?
Just as well. Good. Everything we just said, don't worry about it. Just forget it.
I don't know, maybe we could do a sort of reenactment now.
Well, we're all going to strip down our bikinis out.
Yeah.
Well, I'm already wearing one, obviously.
The rest of us, yeah, we
met. Oh, right, sorry.
So there's this CD. Who else is playing? There's a hip-hop band from Newcastle.
And us. And that's it.
That's it.
At the moment. Because I haven't heard back from bands, so...
You mean you've heard from so many and it's hard to choose?
Sorry, yes. I've heard...
What do you mean? You've asked other bands to play and they haven't
I'm waiting for demos at the moment, yeah.
Oh, you want demos? Okay.
Yeah.
When's the gig? Michelle, tell the date.
We've had
November 4th.
Tell us again, November 4th.
November 4th, that's November 4th, the 4th of November.
What day of the week is that?
That's a Saturday. Saturday night.
You got Saturday night at ANU Bar?
Saturday night at ANU Bar.
What's the deal with the ANU Bar? What do they do? It's just a straight door deal? Or...
It's pretty wild. Yeah, door deal, but...
Do they give you any assistance with PA or...?
They do. You've got choices at the ANU Bar.
Sounds like shit to me.
Given options. It's going to cost you a motto, isn't it? Or what?
It depends on how many people you want to come. Like, so if
well,
you...
Well, they can configure the refectory to...
Well,
yeah, anywhere between three...
We have
well,
to pay.
Hope to come. Yeah. Anywhere between 300 people to 1,500. Mm. And depending on how many people you want to come. is how much you pay for PA and how much you, like, what type of stage you get and
so
stuff like that.
So what's the minimum?
300 people and you pay $150 and you get a PA, you stage, and you get someone to run the PA for you.
Wasn't that pretty good for $150?
Wasn't there another cost involved? Some other...
No, that's if you go up higher.
You know what? Okay.
Yeah. That's some insurance business.
Like, that deal is not too bad.
That sounds okay.
I mean, if you were going to hire your own PA and an operator from a professional company, it'd be more than that, much more. But the uni bar just sucks. I don't know. Just the very fact. I don't go there very often.
Look, the ANU bar is a bizarre space in that it has had some of the biggest names in the history of rock and roll.
The refectory, yeah.
Yeah, and yet it is a weird little soulless place. Although it has air hockey, so
that's does it for me as well. That's the only reason we're playing there.
I won't go there again just because I was at a gig. Yeah, I was at a gig the other night, and the last song of the last night was just fading, and you looked up and the shutters were down, and then you're just plagued constantly with security staff saying, time to go, time to go, time to go.
They
stop,
are like that.
They stopped getting paid at the minute 12. That band played.
Oh, that's finished.
Yeah. And
that's stupid.
They have like...
There's got to be an aftermath of a gig. It's not just like it's over and boom. Yeah.
It does suck.
They do, like, as soon, like, pretty much you're told, okay, you have to be finished by a certain time because we don't pay our employees, employees after 12. So if you're after 12, you know, so they're not getting paid.
It was the band's bad management. They should have finished at 11. Yeah. So give everyone an hour.
Sorry to be a drag.
We'll be having a party after our
there will be a party.
At the ANU bar before midnight. So that, no, you know, like, we're discouraging people from going.
Maybe we should call it the Cinderella bar. Turn into a pumpkin.
Yeah.
You just fucking disappear.
There's some other weird cost involved. Like,
yeah, there is.
Stop!
What is it?
Jeez.
What's this?
No, it's if you go over 300 people, there's other costs involved.
What if more than 300 people come?
Yeah, which is weird.
But this isn't through ANU though.
They're basically saying you can have all the door or the majority of the door up to 300, but if it goes over that,
they won't let more in than 300 people.
Oh, they won't.
I had to sign a contract. If you sign a contract for 300 people, they won't let more than 300 people in.
Yeah.
So if you sign a contract for 500 people, they won't let more than 500.
Yeah.
But no, well, the cost that you're talking about is not through ANU bar.
Huh?
It's because I have to hire a PA from someone else. And
you told me there's like $1,000 to get the privilege of playing there.
No, let's have a little band conference later.
Alright, I'm sorry I said your bar was shit. Apparently I misunderstood Michelle
a
week ago.
It's not a new bar, don't worry about it.
Well, it is shit anyway, you're right. Even though you're wrong.
Fuck you.
But the seating launch will be great.
The seating launch is going to be fucking fantastic.
I don't really...
Please, guys.
Please.
Yeah, all the bands are going to be wanting to come on and plug their CD.
Yeah.
Such a great job.
Yeah. I'm going to get so much support from bars as well. They're all going to want to sponsor you guys.
They love us.
Realistically, 300 people is an awful lot to a camera show.
It is, realistically.
Oh, we've had that a few
but
times.
It's my...
It's my
game, my aim in life is, at the moment, is to get 300 people to come to our CD launch because I have a point to prove.
To who?
To myself and to everyone around
particularly
me.
Particularly me.
And particularly my drummer, that I can pull in 300 people through advertising and getting people excited about this. So, yeah.
I'm
going to get 300 people there.
I'm seeing a real
posters. Posters and stuff.
I'm seeing an upturn in the general kind of Canberra malaise, you know, who can be bothered to go and see this.
Yeah, I agree. The Hancock Basement CD launch at Toast on Friday was a knockout. It was 250 people there. It was great.
We need more people in Canberra to be excited about Canberra bands.
That's what we're trying to do.
Yeah.
We're trying to help.
Yes.
Isn't that right?
We're excited by at least one band in Canberra. I'm a dickhead today.
I don't think it's the bands in Canberra that have the problem. I think most bands in Canberra are fucking awesome, and I go out to support them.
Mm.
I think it's just there's not enough public support. by punter support.
It's just cynicism. Listening to music in Canberra.
Yeah, yeah, that's it. Yeah. people will go out to nightclubs and stuff, but, you know, and venues as well. We need more venues that have made
venues
for...
Venues will come with an audience. And what the Canberra music scene has to do is broaden its entire audience and have good communication channels so that everyone who knows that a gig is on wants to know that a gig is on knows about it.
Yeah.
You know, they don't have to search for it.
But, you know, you've got email and the internet, which, you know, even a decade ago was undreamed of tools.
That's right, it's a fantastic tool. MySpace.
Yeah, I don't know about MySpace.
Motodog.com, that's a very good website.
I've heard of that.
Yeah, I've heard of that website.
The Rydex's not bad.
Rydex, good job.
The Rydex gets you on Stateline.
Oh, man, that was great. That was really good. Fantastic. Tom Woodward we're talking about.
Yes, yes.
What went down there?
Tom was Tom sent out to his email list of things saying, oh, I'll hand deliver the CD if anyone wants to buy it. His last solo CD, 3220 Blues. And I emailed him back saying, Tom, that's a cute little story. Why don't you put it on Riot Act? And so he posted it and I put it up. And I had these morons who read my site, which is a lot of them, unfortunately. And they...
Alienating everyone.
Why not? They've really given me the shits in the last week.
They are a bunch of morons. They're awful.
Not all of them.
Not all of them. No, there are some...
There are some very nice ones and good people who read the site. Gems. But gee, there are some dickheads. And they... they started going, why are you allowing someone to promote this? My sister-in-law sells real estate. Why can't she sell a house? It's like, if your sister sells a house unique to Canberra that's made in a way in Canberra that no one else does anywhere else, yes, I will let your sister sell her house. On the site.
Anyway, back to the track.
To get back to the track, Stateline, came, the ABC program on 7:30 on Friday nights came along to Tom and said, yeah, this sounds really cool. We'll give it a push. So the ABC, with their incredibly strict rules about advertising, we're willing to give him a plug, so I feel incredibly vindicated.
I couldn't watch your video off your website.
Really? Yeah. Well, let's have a look at that later. Okay.
I can't update any QuickTime.
Ah. Well, it's not my fault your QuickTime's obsolete.
Yeah, but maybe you should be back to engineering or something.
Well, I'll have a look at that.
There's been a bit of bickering
tonight.
We're all just a little nervous about Michelle and a knife.
If there is this many faux pas and just nastiness in all the other podcasts, I'm going to listen to all of them.
Oh, man. You just don't know what's happening. People might have been talking about you.
I hope so. Wish. That means that we've been plugged more than once.
What is the go with the name?
Plug? Okay, do you want me to tell the story?
I was thinking of a few different ideas. You know, there's obviously the famous but.
I had a really good friend. One of my first run of posters went up to all the posters and wrote butt above the main
head. Yeah, that was a really good friend.
Yeah, thanks, Dave.
Look, I think we should get back to that when we come back and then say goodbye because we have one more song to hear and it's called Crack and Shadow. We had a couple of goes at this. It's a tricky song.
Super tricky.
It's good though. Here we go. Crack and Shadow.
Questions and the answers, not enough. We screwed it up. Everybody's telling everybody else their secrets all the time. I'm glad I lied. All the things you're balancing around you could devour you, but why? You try, and I can't.
My friend, when we were at uni, Sarah, who Sarah said is actually written about, used to, whenever we'd go shopping or something and you'd see something from the 70s, she'd go, "That's plug ugly." And she uses an art term because she was
studying art.
Mm-hmm. So everything was plug ugly, you know. So we just chose plug. We went through a couple of names.
But we were both classical musicians before and now we're like, play electric instruments as well.
So we have massive big egos, so we're always plugging ourselves. Yeah,
that's actually not true.
That's actually like the opposite of being
that's a humongous lie.
We're a bit shy in retirement. Very good company. We want to say thank you very much.
Thank you for having us.
Yeah, it's awesome. Been a great 53rd podcast.
50th.
51st. We'll get back on the track. Yeah, thanks. It's been fun.
Yeah, it's been awesome. Thanks for the beer.
Don't let that get around.
Yeah,
exactly. Bring your own beer.
Yeah, thanks to Warwick, aka Nemesis, for letting us know about this damn thing. Was that bad?
Did he?
Should I not have let you know?
No, that's cool. Fine.
Well, you did actually just write his name and connect it to his.
Yeah, exactly.
Alias.
Shit.
But anyway, no.
You can beep it out.
Nobody will listen to it. Don't worry.
Great to be here.
Warwick's not his real name anyway.
Isn't it?
No. Another name.
He's a man of mystery. How many Sedgwick chicks is he claiming?
Like that David Heidelberg guy. I tell you, he's a mystery.
Yeah,
let me see. We're going off on tangents again.
You think the ghost of David Heidelberg lives on, do you?
I do. I think he's alive and well. Living in a...
So confused.
It's a backstory, don't worry.
Thank you very much for coming in, guys, and we'll see you... no, what do you say at the end?
Later.
See you later.
Cheers.
Thank you very much.
Thanks a lot.
Bye. Good night, everyone. Insatiable
Banalities. You've been listening to Insatiable Banalities podcast number 51, recorded on Tuesday, the 15th of August, 2006.